Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Today actually marks the day as we prepare for our time of prayer and fasting, as we're joining our global spiritual family with our time together, and actually the sermon series that we have studying this awesome God. Because I've just actually been really interested in a lot of your answers revolving around growing and trusting in God. Ngafa, I know that some of you were talking about enjoying God. I think Elika was talking about enjoying God. Natalia was talking about submitting plans to God and inviting God into all areas of your life. I think that was Masimba, you know, just really enjoying hearing your answers. So a lot of them involve getting to know God even more. And so we are actually embarking, starting tomorrow, from Monday until Saturday, in a time of prayer and fasting alongside our spiritual family across the world. And so every night from 6:30 to 8 Brisbane time, for those of you who are watching from everywhere else, this is Brisbane time, but you can join us online here at Facebook for our Every Nation Brisbane time of prayer and fasting and worship together each night. So we'd love for you to join us for that. So please do, you know, invite those and let us know how we can pray for you. I also wanted to shout out my sister Wella, who's praying for a safe delivery. Yeah, so we want to ask you, you know, like, if you have any specific areas that you need prayer for, please do let us know in the chat, because again, we've got a lot of our spiritual family who are watching online. We would love to pray for you. We have a prayer team and they would love to pray for you, and I'd love to pray for you as well. We'll also, as we go into a time of worship, I'll also be praying for those prayer needs that do come through on the stream, in the chat. And if you have more deeper prayer needs, or prayer needs that you don't feel like you want to share with everybody, but you want our intercessors to pray for offline, we'd also love to hear from you. You can private message us on the Facebook feed as well here at Every Nation Brisbane, because our prayer team would love to pray for you. I'm really excited to get into it, this series as we start this journey in God. Our awesome God today. So yeah, let's get into it, shall we? If you have a Bible, you have one of these, remember these, or if you have an app, I'm trusting that if you're watching this, you may be on a device where you may not be able to go to your app. And we'll have the scriptures on screen anyway for those of you who aren't able to access a Bible, but highly recommend you invest in one of these. This is important. So Exodus chapter 3 is where we'll be today. We're going to read the first few verses. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is this name? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, that I am has sent me to you. And God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. God, we thank you that your word is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, that this word that we have read, it comes from you and it's about you, the awesome God. And as we pursue you this morning, we're asking God that you would come, encounter every single one of us, no matter where we're watching this, whether here in Brisbane or around the world. We're thankful, Lord God, for this opportunity to hear more about who you are. Lord, we want to pray that you would come and breathe life through your word, that people would hear directly from you, the awesome God, beyond my ability to communicate. Lord, let them encounter you powerfully today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And again, I'm so glad you could join us here this morning. We're starting, as I've been saying, in this new series called Awesome God. And this series is being run concurrently with the rest of our spiritual family around the world, our Every Nation churches around the world. We're in just over 80 nations now, many expressions, many different churches around the world in these different nations. And so we're really glad to join with our spiritual family, not only in a time of prayer and fasting, but in pursuit of knowing who this awesome God is. And today we're going to be looking at God as Jehovah or my Lord. Last week we were asking the question, and I wanted to ask you this question again. If there was a word that you used a lot in 2020 that you didn't used to use or you weren't using before 2020, what was that word? I did use this word a fair bit beforehand, but I'm telling you, in 2020, this word was the word that I used very often last year and continue to use. And this is the word pivot. And pivot speaks of like being able to turn when things go in a direction that was unexpected. Kind of like this picture here where you see a road that should be straight, but because of circumstances, you have to continue on the journey, but have to pivot and move around whatever that obstacle may be that tries to stop you in your journey. Organizations pivot. For instance, like some organizations or companies, they repurpose because they're not producing the same things that they used to be able to produce. I shared in some different environments about there is a company in the United States called Bauer, and they used to provide, they used to just build hockey masks and hockey sticks, right? Like the And as they would build these things, obviously in 2020, there was not much hockey going on. There is now, there's starting to be, moving into this next season. But like during that last year, in order to avoid losses, what they actually did was actually repurpose the plastic that they used, the reinforced plastic that they would use to build the hockey sticks and the masks. They would use them to build masks for frontliners and those who work in hospitals and so forth. So Bauer would repurpose all of that. And so a lot of repurposing happens because there's a certain circumstance that happens. And I know many of you may have experienced a different circumstance, not just with regards to COVID-19, but like because of COVID-19, there's been a stoppage in what you initially planned. Because like we've been talking about faith goals for 2021, some of us may have had goals for 2020, thinking that it was going to be a year of vision clarity, like having 2020 vision, but not being able to embark on those plans because of the necessity of pivoting, needing to pivot in that time. I wanted to ask you this question. What is the greatest adjustment that you've had to make recently? What is the greatest adjustment? Maybe it's like many of you, I had quite a lot of travel plans for last year, both for work and ministry and also with my family. But of course, those adjustments had to be made. And what was beautiful about it is the adjustment actually caused us to explore our state of Queensland and just how blessed we are to live in this state and just being in some of the most beautiful scenery in the world, I really believe, whether it's not just with regards to the beaches, but the bushwalks or being up in certain hinterlands and so forth. We're really blessed. We're really blessed here in Queensland, right? Well, the question I ask you at that point and with that, and you can answer that question online, I'd love to hear your thoughts as to what the greatest adjustment is that you've had to make recently, is a deeper question. And the question is, how are you with change when things have to change? When there is an adjustment that needs to be made, how are you with it? The Bible talks about submitting your plans before the Lord, right? But we can make our plans and come with our purposes, but are they submitted to God and His Lordship? We've been the scripture that I read was about Moses, and I know many of you will have seen the movie Prince of Egypt. It's a classic animated movie. I would encourage you highly to watch it. It's a great animated look at the life, the early life of Moses. And we see Moses, even from birth, have to make. There had to be so many adjustments in his life. He went from poor to rich, and then back to being poor again, and then just this crazy transition. So he actually was in danger of being killed, even as a baby, which would be a precursor to everything that would happen to our Savior Jesus, right? And so. That was really important for us to see that parallel with Jesus and with Moses. And so think about this for a moment. Like when Moses was in danger with Pharaoh, his family put him in a basket and sent him up river. And as they sent him up river, he was actually found by Pharaoh's daughter. Again, the most powerful family in the world at that time. So he went from being a part of an Israelite family, a lowly Israelite family, to becoming one who would be embraced by the most powerful family in the world. And Pharaoh's daughter would be the one that would raise him. And so he's raised in this palace. And then in Exodus chapter 2, we read about him being one who fought for injustice. And so when he saw the injustices that were happening to some of the Israelites, who by that point in history were actually enslaved and did a lot of the building in Egypt during that time, when he saw the way that they were being treated, he acted on their behalf, but acted radically to the point where he actually would murder an Egyptian and became a murderer. And so from there, he went back into hiding and lived in a place called Midian with a priest. And the priest had a daughter named Zipporah, and they got married. So he went from a lowly family to, in terms of economic status and being outcasts in Egypt, to being in the richest family, and then back to being in hiding again. And so this is where we meet Moses in chapter 3 of Exodus, right? So you can imagine change, transformation. Moses knows it well. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law. Great son-in-law, Jethro, who was the priest of Midian, and he led this family. He led them to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to the mountain of God. Now check this out. This next verse is key. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Can you say that wherever you are? The bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Okay, so here's Moses being faithful, serving in his father's house, you know, with his father, who's a priest and a farmer, his father-in-law, and he sees this bush that's burning. Now, I want us to notice this, right? The bush was on fire, and a fire in the Bible speaks of passion. It speaks of refinement. It speaks of just the glory of the Lord, the purification. It's on fire, but notice that it's not consumed. And this is the presence of the Lord in our lives, that we should be on fire, meaning that we should be in a place of refinement. We should be in a place of passion. We should be in a place where we are on fire for God, where He is the driving force for everything that we have planned for 2021. But we're not consumed, meaning that we don't burn out. If there's ever a word that emerges a lot in 2020 with regards to our health, whether it's spiritual or mental or emotional, it can be to burn out. And I want to encourage you, like many of you have commented, with regards to just being in a place where you want to pursue more of God. That's the greatest New Year's faith goal that you can have. Being like Tina, who said, you know what, I want to walk with God and just spend time with walking my dog 3 times a week. I think that's a great faith goal to have. And then spending that time with God. And I think if we can carve out time to actually pursue God, and we're going to get this in to this in just a moment as well, it's important that we see that we are on fire for Him, passionate, in a place of refinement, but we are not consumed. My encouragement for all of you is to pursue the presence of God where you are on fire, yet not consumed. And then Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. So he's turning aside to see this. And then when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. He said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Now, this is important to see here, right? That we see Moses turn aside. Now, if you look at the Hebrew, there's a lot of spiritual implication here. He's not just talking about physically turning aside to see the bush. That's only on one level. Moses had his job going on, right? He was being faithful, taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law. But at the same time, he was still a fugitive the Egyptian population was looking for him. He was on the most wanted list. So that's why he was in hiding in Midian. And yet he also was a part of the family, the royal family, adopted in. So you've got all of this happening in the background. So there's the noise of being a fugitive. There's also just the fact that he's being faithful, but he's in a place where he's hidden. And God at that point gives him a sign to help him turn aside. Turning aside means that you need to leave behind that which defined you in the past. I'll say that one more time. When you say, I will turn aside, it means I'm turning aside from everything that used to define me in the past. Murderer, being labeled in a certain way, like as somebody who was elite. Can you imagine those who were of Hebrew descent looked at him? They actually accused him of being Egyptian, which he wasn't, but he was by adoption. So all of these labels were put on him, much like labels might be put on you and myself, right? And God at this point is saying, you know what? None of those labels actually fit my description of you. It's important to know who you are and whose you are, but the only way that we can recognize who we belong to and who we are in Christ is by turning aside. And God wants you and I to turn aside, to turn and focus on Him. The Lord says to him, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. Now, does that mean that that specific area at that time was holy ground? Yes and no. So yes, in terms of this bush that he saw was holy ground because of the presence of the Lord being there at that time. But the tendency can be for us as humans is to build monuments around moments like that, rather than recognizing that where God has you, where God meets you, and carving out this time, it's so important to carve out this time to pursue the presence of God is holy ground. The place of which you meet with God is holy ground. And I want to encourage you, like, hope you're catching this. No matter what busyness and what things may have defined your life in the past, especially that which has been labeled upon you that does not convey what God says about you, you need to turn aside and understand that the place that you meet with God, where you are on fire but not consumed, is holy ground. God wants you to carve out places of encountering Him that are treated like holy ground. What does it mean to be holy? Holy, you know, like when I ask you, what does holy mean? Holy means to be completely set apart for God and His glory. Are you set apart? Have you turned aside from that which used to define you and that which may cause you to be enslaved to your Egypt? What I mean by Egypt, like that's not just a geographical place in North Africa. Egypt is symbolic of enslavement to sin. When you read about Egypt constantly throughout the book of Genesis, you'll also always notice that when there was a famine in the land, whether it was Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, they would have a tendency to go down to Egypt. And it would always talk about not just going south to Egypt, but it would always talk about spiritually going down to Egypt and trusting in world systems. Egypt represents how the world systems provide for us. And in the same way, Moses, at this point, God is saying, you don't need to trust in world systems to define you anymore. Trust in me. Turn aside towards me, where you will be on fire, not consumed. For the place of which I'm meeting you and I will guide you is holy ground. Do we have places like that where we encounter God set apart for His glory, where we encounter Him on holy ground? And God says to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid. What was he afraid of? Because he's starting to recognize, okay, this isn't just like the bushfires that we had here in Australia. This is God emerging in this theophany, like which is a revelation of who God is in this burning bush. And now he's afraid because he's recognizing, okay, the same God that brought Abraham out of his father's house and into a land where he would prosper, the same God of Isaac who would rescue him from the altar of being sacrificed, the same God of Jacob, and the same God of Joseph is also the same God that is speaking to Moses at that point. And he's also the same God that is speaking to us today, revealing his nature this morning. And now he's like, okay, this isn't just some trip I'm on. This is actually God desiring to meet with me, the God of multiple generations. And then so what does God say to him? He says, and I want you to catch this. I've underlined this on the scriptures on your screen so that you can take a note of this. Please do take notes, because I really sense that a lot of what God wants to share with us today is going to help you in your pursuit of him this 2021. And the Lord said, I have surely seen. Everybody say, I've surely seen. Right. I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard. Everybody say, have heard. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. Everybody say, I know. I know. And I have come down to deliver. Everybody say, I've come down. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the old preacher's joke, the mosquito bites. He's coming to bring them all, the people of Israel, into this land. So this is the reason why he mentions those generations. So I'm not just your God, Moses. I'm the God of everybody who recognizes in their lineage the father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Everybody who knows those people as their forefathers are the people that I am speaking to right now as I speak to you. This is the message. Now, here's the four things. I have surely seen. I have heard. So he's seen their affliction. He's heard their cries. He knows their sufferings. And he's coming down to deliver them. Let me say that again. Write this down if you're taking notes. I have seen the affliction. He's not blind to the affliction that you're dealing with right now. Whatever you've been dealing with throughout this time, throughout this pandemic, or with family overseas, or where you are, maybe it's economic strife. Maybe there's been a flow of COVID-19 into your family. I know we've experienced it in our family overseas. Whatever you've been dealing with, God sees the affliction. God sees what you're dealing with, and he has heard your cry. I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday about the necessity of having that space of holy ground to be able to cry out to the Lord. God loves it when we cry out to him, and he's big enough to take it. When you look at the Psalms, more than half of the Psalms that you find in the book of Psalms are actually laments towards God. They're the psalmist crying out, God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Why can't I find you in the midst of this trial and tribulation? You can look at the book of Lamentations and see what it's like to lament towards God. And God would not include that in the canon of scripture had he not intended for us to be able to cry out to him out of honest bearing just the grief. God wants us to bring our grief to him. He sees, he hears, and he knows. And he says he will come down and deliver you. He will come down. All things, Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good of those who love you, God, and accord according to your purpose. If you're loved and you love God and you're called according to his purpose, God is working all things together for your good. Can I get an amen from somebody? Come on. And now behold, everybody saying, now behold. Behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression of the Egyptians who oppress them. Everybody say this with me. He sees, he hears, he knows, and he comes. I'll read this one more time because you need to know this about the character of God. He sees you, he hears you, he knows you, and he comes. But let me flip that on its back a little bit. Do you see him? Do you hear him? Do you know him? And do you come? He wants us. This is the power of turning aside. Because so many of us don't turn aside. We don't set time in our lives in the busyness of trying to make things happen and then be the back shadow of trying to make things happen in our everyday life. Is there still the past that has been spoken over you? And God says, you know what? Turn aside from all that. Let me redefine you in this holy ground place. Because I see you, I hear you, and I know you, and I come to you. But will we see him? Will we hear him? Will we know him, and will we come to him? Come, I will send you to Pharaoh. So you can imagine, right? Like, he's getting built up now. He's like, okay, I know. I am afraid, but I'm recognizing who God is now. And then he says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh. Uh-oh. He's sending me back there? I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So huge task. And God has huge task and huge vision for your life, how you will help to be one who sets captives free. And he's saying the same of you as he says to Moses, that he's got that sort of purpose for you. And Moses says, like most of us would say, how many of you would honestly say, if God says to you, okay, I'm sending you to this place because you're going to be instrumental in helping to set people free. I will send you to Logan. I will send you to Slacks Creek. I will send you to Chermside. I will send you to Ipswich. I will send you to Indooroopilly. I will send you to the campuses. I will send you to UQ. I will send you to Griffith. I will send you to QUT. And you're going to help set the captives free. Like any normal human, Moses says, but who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? He's forgotten, like, he grew up in the house of Pharaoh, but like, he's forgotten who he is and whose he is. That's like most of us, right? Like, we don't point the finger at Moses. I know I'd probably say the same. Who am I that you would want to use me in this manner? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel up out of Egypt? And God doesn't say, well, let me read your certificates, your CV, your resume. No, you know what he says? You know, it's not about you. It's the fact that I am going to be with you. If you're watching this, I want you to say this with me. God is with me, and God will be with me. God is with me, and God will be with me. Man, that's powerful, right? And no matter where we are right now, God wants us to understand that he is with you. It's not a matter of who you are that's going to make this happen. Because God, in order for God to get the glory, then we need to move out of the way. Because it's not a matter of, oh, you know, I have a bunch of skills that I hope God will use, a bunch of skills that I've been working on. And God's going, that's great. But the only reason why you're going to walk in victory and deliverance is because I'm with you. right? I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Wow. He's saying, look, in order for people to see this sign that I'm with them, you're just going to have to go and trust me. And that's what's going to be a sign for them, that it is him. And you will worship me on this mountain. And Moses says to God at this point, he says, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And this is the whole point right here. This is where we're landing today. God says to Moses, I am who I am. What? I am who I am. Other versions say, I am that I am. What do you mean by that? There's a lot to unpack there. This is the word Jehovah or Yahweh. We'll get to unpacking this in a moment. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. What kind of name is that? And God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham. Again, moving through this generational transfer here. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. So this is his name even right now. And thus I am to be remembered by all of you throughout all generations. I am who I am. I am who I am. Now, some of us might struggle a little bit with this name because this is not a name like John or Fred. This is I am who I am. What does this mean? Let's unpack it from the Hebrew. The word Jehovah actually is a transliteration, or trying to actually go into thinking about, how would you say, pronouncing God's name. Being able to pronounce God's name, right? But his name is actually not pronounceable. It is the name. It is the name that is represented by these letters in Hebrew. At least these are English letters that are ascribed to these Hebrew letters. Because the name of God is so holy that it is unmentionable. The word Jehovah is actually an attempt, and a very good one at that, in ascribing a pronunciation to his name so that people know who they're talking about when they mention I am. So anytime that you might read your Bible, and you see specifically the name Lord written out in all capitals, that is where you see this name of God as Lord, as Yahweh or Jehovah. And what he means by this is a number of things. When God says, I am who I am, he actually means a number of things. I'm just going to give you six of them today. I am that I am means God always was, and he always is, and he always will be. So he's like, I am that I am. Secondly, God is absolute reality. And there is no reality outside of Yahweh. So you cannot escape the reality of who he is. There is a stream of thought called deism, which merely believes that God would say, it's not a Christian belief. This would say that God creates the universe and then just merely subjugates himself from it. He doesn't get involved in it at all. It's not a Christian understanding of who God is. God is fully involved in his creation. He sees, he hears, he knows, and he comes. Okay? It may not seem like that to us in our finite understanding. And even when we go through grief and situations where we may not fully understand what is going on and the suffering that we may be engaging momentarily, I'm here to tell you and to encourage you that he is fully involved in his creation. A God is also dependent on no one or nothing. He doesn't need us. I loved what Adele was saying in the comments as well about understanding that God doesn't necessarily need us. But he chooses to involve us by his grace. Isn't that awesome that God wants us to be a part of his plan? God is perfect and cannot be improved. We can't sit there and go, okay, God, you know, let me give you a few tips. No, he can't be improved. He is God on his own, and he cannot be upscaled or upgraded. Fifthly, God is the standard of all truth, all goodness, and all beauty. And then sixth, God is Lord of all. This is the God that we worship. Isn't this powerful? When he says, I am that I am, all of these things take effect in our understanding. God's got it. God always had it. God knows what's going on. He sees what's going on, and he's fully involved. Now, that may not, when you think about the events of the last 72 hours, what's happened in the United States, what's happened here even in our state, of us being in this situation where we're having to be in service this way, man, I know that it may seem like, well, this is not good, is it? Well, again, God is Lord of the pivot, and there's things that God unearths in moments like this that cause us to want to trust him even more. I'm going to close with this thought. God needed to ascribe to Moses who he was as I am that I am in order for him to understand that he would be Lord of the mission that lay ahead. And that mission would be to help deliver the people of Israel out of the slavery of Egypt and into the promised land. And this is what God wants to do with you. There's a massive mission, a massive calling on your life. Whether you're watching this and you know who he is, whether you're watching this as well and you don't know who God is, I'm just here wanting to encourage you today that God wants you to turn aside. Turn aside from the things that have defined you in the past, and let him define you as you trust in I am that I am. He sees, he hears, he knows, and he comes. That you would be on fire and not be consumed in this hour. So as we launch into 2021, as we continue to pursue who God is in our lives, I really want to encourage you, those of you who would like to give your lives over to God, I want you to pray with me. Whether this is the first time or a first time in a long time, you'll say, man, I look at 2021, and I honestly, Pastor Nelly, I'm a little fearful right now. Yeah, I get it. But God would have us turn aside and turn towards him. For the ground of which we are standing now is holy ground. And he invites us towards himself, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of David, the God of Jesus Christ himself, our God. He invites you as a loving father towards himself today. Won't you turn aside and won't you turn towards him? So if that's you, why don't you pray with me right where you are? Just pray this. God, thank you for this moment today where, much like Moses, I may be a little fearful or a lot fearful, but today I turn aside. I turn aside from that which has defined me in the past, whether it's my job or whether it's the way people have spoken over my life or my past actions. And I turn towards the great I am, the great Yahweh, the great Jehovah. I give you my life today, understanding that your son Jesus laid his life down in order that I may have life today. I put my trust in you, and I'm thankful that as I put my trust in you, you'll forgive me and cleanse me from all my sin. From every event of sin in my life, Lord, you remove my sins as far as the east is from the west. You remove my transgressions from yourself and from me. And Lord, I thank you today that word Lord, Yahweh, and for me to personally embrace that statement, you are my God, my Lord, is to say that my life no longer is my own, but it's yours. And I thank you that you are mine today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer today with me, my brothers and sisters, if you prayed that prayer with me today, please do let us know in the chat that, just let us know in the chat by saying, you know, Nelly, I prayed that prayer. Because we really would love to help you walk in this walk together with other people as a part of community, because it's so necessary for us to walk together, because you can't do this on their own. That's the way that God has united us together as the body of Christ, so that we can learn from one another. We can do life together in order that we may glorify him. And so I wanted to just give you some time to mull over this. And if you did pray that prayer, just let us know in the chat, or you can private message us here on Facebook. But here's the question I wanted to ask you today as we move into a time of worship. And I want to encourage you guys, let's worship God together. Let's go after our great God, and let's turn aside. Let's take some time to worship him. But here's the question just for you, if you're with others or if you're on your own and you're watching this, I'm just going to give you a minute or so just to chew on this question, which is, will you turn aside and trust Yahweh or trust Jehovah at his word to take you through 2021? Yeah, just go ahead and meditate on that, or discuss and pray. I will just give you about 90 seconds to do that right now.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.